Tim Bertolotti, director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, a friend of WAMC and of mine, I hope, and a guy who really does understand a good deal about the dynamics of elections and polling and the rest. Let's start with something that I haven't asked you about yet in our sessions, and that has to do with the hopes for the Democrats to retake the U.S. Senate, which a lot of people are saying they could do, and the House of Representatives seems to be in play.
Yes, this is making Democrats giddy, the House prospects, because a few people thought that was likely early on. Let's start with the Senate, which is a little easier in terms of the math. What the way the Senate is composed right now is that the Republicans have 54 seats, the Democrats have 44 plus two independents, Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Angus King of Maine, who caucus with them. So if the Democrats win the White House, the Democrats would need to flip four Senate seats to win 50-50 in the Senate with the Democratic vice president casting the tie-breaking vote. This is an interesting cycle. A third of the Senate is up every 2 years. And in this year, Democrats are defending 10 seats while Republicans are defending 23. And the only Democratic seat that's really in play right now is the seat currently held by the Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid in Nevada. The polling is close between the Republican and the Democrat, so that could flip. But on the other side, Democrats have made great gains trying to capture seats held by Republicans in Wisconsin and Illinois. They're making some progress in North Carolina and New Hampshire. That would give them the four they need. Indiana is now back in play because Evan Bayh, the former senator there, has gotten back into the game and is running as the Democratic candidate for the Senate in Indiana. What seems to be slipping away right now is Ohio. Rob Portman is the incumbent, and Ted Strickland, the former governor, is running, and the latest polling there is not very encouraging for Strickland. But if there's a big turnout in Ohio for Hillary Clinton, there could be some coattail effects as well. And then North Carolina, Richard Burr is running against a former state legislator, Deborah Ross. The race is close, and again, if Clinton makes some headway in North Carolina, that could help Deborah Ross down the ticket.
Talk to me a little bit about coattails. You know, a lot of us are saying, okay, you know, there'll be a lot of people, Democrats, who turn out historically in presidential elections who don't show up otherwise, which is why you see these off-year elections going so strongly for Republicans. But do those coattails work?
They work when there is something called a coordinated campaign in the state. So in states where the presidential campaign is coordinating with the Senate campaign and coordinating with the House campaigns, so that your canvassers, whether they're knocking on doors or making calls or making the pitch for everybody on the ticket, that can help. In a cycle like this, though, when one candidate at the presidential level has a prohibitive advantage, in this case Hillary Clinton, Americans are known to like divided government, even though politicians find it very frustrating. And if it appears that Hillary Clinton is running away with the presidential race, there will be a push from the Republican Party to make the argument to the American people, well, we need to check this Democratic president by keeping the Senate in Republican hands. And so it will be interesting to see what sort of messaging the National Republican Party is going to be engaging in. They wouldn't shift gears that way until sometime later in the cycle. It would seem to completely undermine the Trump campaign if they did this now. But there's already talk of this. So that would work against coordinated campaigns. That would work against coattails. And conceivably, should Hillary Clinton win, hand her a Republican Congress that's even more intransigent than the one that President Obama has faced.
But I keep thinking about people who are not politically sophisticated. Your argument just now is for people who know something about something. But there are a lot of people who show up in campaigns, a lot of Democrats in particular, who have no idea who their state senator, United States senator is, or who their congressman is. I ask them all the time. They don't know. And then isn't party affiliation become an identifier? Well, I'm here. I'm voting for the Democratic presidential candidate. So I suppose while I'm around, I'll vote for all the other Democrats.
It can, particularly in the House. Members of the House are not that well known. They don't always get ads on TV. And so their party label is very, very important. But I could see the Republican Senate Campaign Committee airing TV ads describing potential Hillary Clinton appointments to the Supreme Court and exaggerating them. They would love to say, well, she'll put Elizabeth Warren on the Supreme Court, which no one's talking about doing. But something like that would then motivate moderate Republican voters or conservative Republican voters to say, well, I'd better support that Republican candidate for the Senate because I sure don't want to see fill in the blank on the Supreme Court. So that's where the messaging becomes very important.
Tim Versalotti, one of the things that is so interesting to me is time. When Joe Biden was looking at running for president, you know, he put his foot in his mouth. People would say that he didn't poll well. He decided not to run. Now, Joe Biden, the vice president of the United States, is one of the most popular people in this country. He shows up with Hillary Clinton. She actually opens for him,
right.
and the cheering and the raucousness. So back in the day, he couldn't have done it. Now he could be elected on a laundry ticket.
Right. Well, that's the difference between being a candidate and being a beloved elder statesman in the party. And the reception when he campaigned in Scranton, his hometown, with Hillary Clinton, whose father was from Scranton, was just rock star in the nature of the reception there. But once you get into the race, things change. All we have to do are look at Hillary Clinton's unfavorable ratings when she was Secretary of State versus candidate Clinton, and that she was widely admired, one of the most admired women in the world, and then once she became a candidate again, those ratings flipped, and so there is that consideration.
Well, I'd love to see Joe Biden stay in government. I mean, I'd love to see him as the Secretary of State, but that's not going to happen, right?
It's hard to tell. Hillary Clinton has said she would like him to remain in his capacity directing the ramped up research efforts to fight cancer, the so-called Cancer Moonshot Initiative. So I think he will have some role in public service after the election, but it would be a surprise to see him stay on in terms of a cabinet position.
And one last question. We're doing polls in August now. We're seeing Hillary up by 6 points, let's say. And better, in fact, in some of the major swing states. But how important are those August polls when it comes to predicting what will happen in November?
So here's the conventional wisdom that voters don't turn into politics until after Labor Day. And we've heard that argument from the Trump campaign. But I think that's conventional wisdom from an earlier era when we didn't have a 24/7 news cycle, when we didn't have social media, when we didn't have cable channels. And I think that sometimes things get baked in August. As far back as 2004, when John Kerry was the Democratic nominee, that's when the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth ads first aired. Kerry didn't take it very seriously, and I think it really did bake in some questions about his history and his character. And so August, I think, can be consequential. And so the gains that Hillary Clinton has made in August, they may turn out to be the deciding factor when the story of this race is written. Now, that's all things being equal, and with the inability to foresee what might happen in this topsy-turvy race in September and October. But I think August matters more than it used to, and that Labor Day starting point really is something of the past and not something that we can really look to now and say, well, none of this matters until Labor Day.
Well, Tim Versalotti, we're out of time. We thank you so much for doing what you do with us. It is an exemplary service. We love Western New England University, and we love you. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome, Alan.